I'm going to go ahead and get started. So if you would, turn with me to Luke 18. Luke 18. Luke 18, and I'm going to read verses 15 through 17. Luke 18. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. We read here that there were some who were brought, infants, it says here. They brought very small children to him so that he might heal them. Some of these may have been even younger than our grandchildren we see today. The disciples, those who follow Jesus Christ, just as we do, they rebuked them for doing so. But then the Lord Jesus Christ said to them in rebuke, Suffer the little children to come unto me. Send them forth to Jesus Christ, is what he said. Do not forbid them. Why would we do such a thing? Send one away that is a little child of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about young or old. This agrees with what our Lord is telling us here. We who call ourselves the children of God, and I don't say it that way to say that we're not the children of God, but we who call ourselves the children of God do not behave like we are all the time. That is, children of God. I often think of myself as being more than I am. Some people say it like this, we think we have arrived, or you think you have arrived. And if someone is not like us, then they are not ready for the kingdom of God. I often have this type of thought, even though I may not say these words, I have this thought. I know what God's word says. I know who God is, and I know what God has done. You know how it often manifests that thought, how it manifests it forth? It's like this. Why did they do that? Yeah. I wouldn't have done that.
You're right.
Preachers often, and I say that only because of what I experience, but I often preach what I feel myself to be, so to be that way. So when I'm saying these things, I know I am very capable and culpable in these things, no matter who it is that's saying these things. Some of you may have had this happen to you, but have you ever had a child ask you who God is or who Jesus Christ is? What kind of answer will you give? I've recently had grandchildren come to me and ask me who God is and who is Jesus Christ. Or maybe they might say, tell me about God. When you are talking to a child, for me anyway, it seems to be a hard thing to find the words to tell them who God is.
Yeah.
There is an answer.
Yes, sir.
But most times when we are talking to people about who God is or who Jesus Christ is, we think we have to give some deep answer or some theological answer.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we are finite.
Yes.
He is infinite.
We
die as we are born in Adam, and he is life itself. Where will we get our answers? Where do we get what we will tell them of who God is? The same place you and I get answers as to who he is and what he has done. The scripture.
Yes, sir.
The Bible.
Amen.
That is where God speaks to us, and by his Spirit. He will seal his words to our heart, Joe, so that when We then know who he is to the extent that he is pleased for us to know him. It does not matter if I do a very poor job of telling someone, young or old, or if I've been given the greatest oratory skills to explain to all ages who he is. It is he who will give you understanding of who he is, and if he is pleased, he will bring you close to himself so that you never stop asking the question, who is God? Who is Jesus Christ?
Yes.
You will continue to make this type of statement in your heart. Tell me about Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Let's look at this passage a little closer and see what Christ says specifically as it pertains to all of God's children. Then we will go into the question of who he is and what he has done. That is what we always want to hear, right? Who he is and what he has done.
Yes, sir.
That is the good news, the gospel, to hear of who he is and what he has done. Jesus Christ goes on to say in our text, for of such is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
His kingdom is made up of a bunch of little children. I want to go this morning where our Lord is going in this passage this morning. I intend to show that if you do not and are not coming to him as a little child, you are not part of the kingdom.
That's it.
Our Lord says here in our passage in verse 17, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. When do we receive the kingdom of God? Back then? Mm-hmm. We may very well receive the kingdom of God back then. But we are not receiving the kingdom of God right now. If we're not receiving the kingdom of God right now as a little child, we will not enter into his kingdom. I want to go into this, if God permits, to point out what God is saying. It makes no difference what I say, but it makes a whole world of difference about of what he says. He says, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall, that is, it is certain, those will in no wise enter therein.
Amen.
So what is it to receive the kingdom of God as a little child? Let's turn over to another passage, and I believe this is the same account, but in one of the other Gospels, but Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, and right now I'm just going to read verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And then verse 3 we read, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. And I'll stop right there.
Yes, sir.
Christ says, except ye be converted.
Amen.
The word itself denotes that this is something that's done outside of the person.
Yes.
Something is done to a person by someone else.
Yes.
This is not saying if you convert yourself.
That's right.
It is saying that if you are not converted by me, that is Jesus Christ, then you will not be one of these who will become as little children.
Yes, sir.
Scripture tells us, we have read it before, that is God, that is the one who turns us. That is what converted means.
Yes,
it means to twist or turn quite around or reverse. What do we read in Scripture about turning? Jeremiah 31:18.
Yes.
I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, that is God, you turn me, and I shall be turned.
Amen.
For thou art the Lord my God.
Amen.
You trust in yourself to turn yourself, you will not be turned.
Exactly.
But you will not be one of those who become as little children either.
Mm-hmm.
This conversion done by God is a conversion that causes one to become as a little child. what is it that our Lord goes on to say in Matthew? And excuse me. Here is a hallmark, if that is a good word, I don't know, or an attribute of a child of God, of his, in Matthew 18:4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child,
yes,
the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
So here Christ says that the one who humbles himself. So what does it mean to be humble? Humble is this: to depress. Back in years ago, I don't see it being done too much anymore, but especially with kids, the doctor would take a tongue depressor to press down the tongue. They do this to press down the tongue and hold it down and keep it there. So to humble is to depress myself, hold myself down. What else do we read of this meaning? Figuratively, it means to humiliate in condition or heart. To humiliate myself, that is, that myself is made to be nothing, to be brought low with no self-esteem.
Yeah.
It goes on to say in the definition, it says, abase, bring low, or that is, humble. To come to Jesus Christ, one will be converted, and this conversion will bring one to think of themselves as nothing. They will be brought down into submission.
Yes.
Coming to Jesus Christ, entering the kingdom, is to come, bowing down your face to the King, Jesus Christ the Lord. What else does it go on to say in Matthew? Matthew 18, verses 5 and 6. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me.
Yes.
But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. If you receive one that is such, one that abases himself at the feet of the King, at the feet of Jesus Christ the Lord, then you receive such a one in the name of the King. But read this next verse. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me,
yes,
bowing down to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ is to believe Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To humble yourself before the King is to believe Jesus Christ. And I say humble yourself, but you are humbled by God. To be humbled by Him and be made to rest at His feet as a little child is to believe Jesus Christ. But if you offend one of these who believe in Jesus Christ, if you, because you do not want to bow down to Christ yourself, you offend one of these to prevent them from coming to Him, I cannot say how bad it will be for one of those who hate the Lord and try to prevent one of His from coming to Him.
Right.
All I can say is what it says here. It will be worse than this. It were better. The following is better than what one will receive if you offend a child of God who has been humbled by God to bow down to the Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord, the King. This is better than what it actually will happen to such a one. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Yes.
We read of this account also in Mark 10, starting in verse 13, but I'm not going to go into that account, but it says the same thing. Now, going back to this doctrine of coming as a little child, you have heard the analogy, and I think it's a good analogy. The child is up on a little height, or maybe the dad is in a swimming pool, and he tells his child to jump into his arms, and he will catch him.
Yeah.
This is how we are to come to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We must trust Him to catch us and keep us safe.
Amen.
But you know, when I first started thinking about this, here is where my mind went briefly. So coming as a little child is one who doesn't know much. And you have to break it down into little different chunks. You know, maybe more so than you do for someone else. But then God in His Word, by His Spirit, said to me, He brought these thoughts of Scripture to me. 1 Corinthians 8:2. And if any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know.
Amen.
You think you have arrived? You think you have God's word figured out, and therefore you have God figured out? Therefore you can tell or teach someone into the kingdom of God? God said in his word, you know nothing.
That's right.
But hear this verse. And this verse is the one God that brought to my mind when reading our text. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And who hast thou that thou, what hast thou that thou hast not received? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? As if thou hast not received it. When my grandkids come to me and they ask the question about who God is and who Jesus Christ is, my first thought was something like this. Well, I ought to be able to do this. Easy, right? Just make it really easy and simple for them to understand. And voila, there you go. Then God, humbling me at first, caused my mind to really go blank. I started thinking, how do I do this? Then I thought on this passage, and if you would, turn with me to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 and verses 21 through 25. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One.
Amen.
We often do comparisons to explain someone about a subject, and that's okay to do. We all do it. But God says, to whom shall ye liken me? There is no one. I cannot give someone an example of a person or a being and then say, so there, that's what God is like. There is no one to compare him to. I am then once and again humbled by God to see he is all and mightier than I, and I am nothing but dust. So now where do I go to tell a little child or even someone who is older who wants to know about who God is? I go to the same place that all of God's children go, because God puts them in that place. He will put you in the hearing vicinity of one he has sent, who knows themselves to be in need of him.
Yeah.
One who will tell you what this word says and about who he is. Or he will cause you to read what those have written and said about him and those he has sent as well. I will get, children will get, old folks will get who God is from his word and by his spirit. He will send you a preacher to do this in some way. All we can do is give someone what he has said in his word, whether they be 3 or whether they be 83.
Yeah.
Those who come to him will all come as little children, humbling themselves as little children, knowing they are nothing and that he is everything.
Yeah.
All I am to receive will come from him. All that I am to do will come from him.
Mm-hmm.
All my blessings will come from him.
Yes.
So now, that was my introduction. So now let me see if God will allow me to tell you about him. That is who God is and who Jesus Christ is and what he has done. So first, let me start here. He is creator of all things.
Yes.
Colossians 1:16 says, For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, and here's the thing, and for him. He made all things, as it says there in Colossians, and they were made for him. So he has the say over what he does with all of his creation. He can make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor. It's all up to him. Because he is God and he created all things, he did this for a purpose. He wanted to give honor and glory to himself. He wanted to show that he was a merciful, or is a merciful God. Mercy means compassion, or that is being kind to someone. God was pleased to be kind to a people. But why is it that he had to be kind? Because his creation, that is human beings, man and woman, boys and girls, disobeyed him. He told them to do something and they did not. Genesis 2:16 and 17. This is very familiar. But it's in God's word. It's what we like to hear, what God says, right? Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
Amen.
God told Adam, do not eat of this one tree. Whatever fruit it was that was on this tree, he was not to eat of it. God told him when he ate of this fruit, he would die. He did not tell Adam if he ate of it. He said when you eat of it. God knew Adam would eat of the fruit of this tree. Adam was in no way deceived. Eve was. Eve was tricked by Satan.
Yes.
Adam was not tricked. He was given by Eve this fruit. And he knowingly, that is, he knew this was the fruit of the tree he was not supposed to eat. He knowingly ate of this fruit himself.
Yes, he did.
As we all know, because we all come from Adam, this plunged us into death and sin. Total separation from God and total offense against God. We were made totally dead to God, and because we being dead, can do nothing but sin, or that is, do the things wrong against God who created us. That's just the way it says in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Something that also might help those who God has opened their eyes to see this is his law says, honor your mother and your father.
Yes, sir.
This means obey. Do what your parents tell you to do. But even children know that they do not always do this. So they know they have been wrong. If God says to do this and you do not obey your parents, then you are disobeying God. But there is hope. Even though we have done wrong against the God who created us, the scripture says God delights to show mercy.
Amen.
Even though man has sinned against him, he delights to show mercy. He wants to show mercy.
Yes.
He wants to be kind to someone. But there is one thing about this. God is so holy, he is so right. God does all things right. He cannot just let sin, that is your wrongdoing, go.
Yes.
He cannot go on without it being punished. God has to punish wrongdoing, and no matter what the wrongdoing is, the punishment is always the same. Death. Death.
Amen.
So the problem is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So for God to show mercy, someone will have to pay for those sins, those wrongdoings against the Creator of all things. It was God's purpose. That means God intended, God meant to accomplish this himself. But for him to accomplish this, he had to be a man. God is spirit, the Bible says. So he could not do it being spirit only. God says in his word, everything brings forth of its own kind. So God being spirit could not bring justice, or that is right, to a human being who is flesh. God had to come down and be born of a woman, made under the law, to redeem, or that is to show mercy to them who are under the law, to be kind to those who were under his law. Himself as a perfect human being who always did what pleased God was the perfect sacrifice. He was clean, in other words. He was the perfect sacrifice, or that is the one who could take his people's place because he was clean. In doing so, he also had to take away their sins. He could not just forget about their sins. So he took their sins in his own body when he was crucified on that tree.
Yes, sir.
The punishment for sin is death. Jesus Christ died, being made a curse and sin for us. Jesus Christ is God, so God died.
Yes, sir.
God came down to be a man so that he would take a people's place, to take away their sins, to never be seen again. So by this one thing that he did, he can now, being a God who has always done the right thing, he can now bring those vessels whom he chose to be vessels of mercy, he can now then bring them to himself as little children. He is the creator of all things. How did he do that? Only he knows. Only he knows. How did he come down? How did he condescend and was born of a virgin? Only God knows. We know that he has, but we do not know how he did. But by his grace we believe who he is and what he has done. We do not know how he will catch us, but we know that he has caught us. We know nothing, and that is how it is, if we know anything. It is because he has given it to us. We have to place our trust in him because we are nothing, and he is everything.
Yes.
And Joe just went through all that last week. He is everything to his people. We are to come to him as little children. We know nothing of him and can do nothing for him. That is how we come. We do not stop coming to him. We have not arrived. We cannot survive in the face of a holy, angry God on our own. We are naked just as Adam and Eve was. We are naked. And being naked means we cannot hide from him.
Yes.
He sees us for who we are. He must clothe us, and what he clothes his people with is his righteousness. That means he puts clothes on us that cover us from the wrath or anger of God. That robe being Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ did. Nothing of what we have done or do, all of what he has done. We come bowing to him for everything, because we can do nothing and we can bring nothing. We must pray to God, cause us, dear Lord, keep us, dear Lord. Make us to see you as our prophet, priest, and king. You are our all. We are nothing without you. Heal us, make us better, because we are sick as one can be. We are sick unto death. Heal us. Cause us to come to you as a little child, placing all of our trust and care on you. Amen. Dear Lord God, thank you for allowing us to be here, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we have so much pride, we could never humble ourselves, dear Lord. But we thank you that you humble us and bring us to your feet, dear Lord, and cause us to see your face all the time, dear Lord, and proclaim this message to whoever asks of us, of the reason of the hope that lies within us, dear Lord, no matter whether they're 2 or 102, dear Lord. Be with all those who stand today and are supporting and proclaiming your gospel, dear Lord, that maybe your name will be honored and glorified, dear Lord. All these things we ask in your name. Amen.